Good morning, everyone, and welcome back. You are listening to Richard's show on CJSF 90.1 FM. We are broadcasting live from Burnaby campus of Simon Fraser University, located on the unceded coastal Salish territories of the Musquash and the Tahliwata nations. I'm so thrilled to be back behind the mic. I just returned from a three-week trip back to China to celebrate the Lunar New Year with my family. The food was amazing, but stepping out of the Canadian bubble and back into the Chinese environment gave me a lot of culture shock, especially when I caught up with my friends about their jobs. This brings me to a recent news story. Mark Carney recently mentioned that Canada will import 39,000 electric vehicles from China. Immediately, Canadian union workers condemned this. They argued that these imports will damage the Canadian vehicle market. Because Chinese electrical vehicles are heavily subsidized. But they also raised serious concerns about human rights and the labor practices involved in manufacturing those vehicles. This clash of labor standards perfectly introduces today's topic. Today, we are doing a deep dive into the workplace comparison between Canada and China. We'll look at unions, the tech industry, hiring discrimination, and the exhausting reality of business diners. Let's kick things off with some music and then we will dive in. The first song I prepared today is called Wedding Waltz by Gecko. Thank you. The definition of human right and the power of unions. Welcome back. Let's start with that complaint from the Canadian auto unions regarding human rights. To truly compare the East and the West, we have to understand that these two regions define human rights very differently. In Canada, human rights are highly individualized. We focus on civil liberties, freedom of speech, expression, bodily autonomy, and the right to fair, protected labor. In China, the official and societal narrative often defines human rights primarily through a collective economic lens, especially the right to subsistence and development. The argument is, we lifted hundreds of millions of people out of poverty. That is our human rights achievement. The collective stability of the society is prioritized over the individual liberty of the worker. You see this directly in the labor market. Here in Canada, unions hold significant power. If you are a transit driver or an auto worker, your union protects your individual rights against the employer. In China, independent labor unions don't exist the same way, because private sector workers lack this protection, the ultimate safe haven for Chinese workers is the public sector. Millions of young people take grueling exams to become civil servants. They call it the Iron Rice Bowl because it's a job for life. In Canada, workers protect themselves against the state or employer via unions. In China, workers protect themselves by joining the state. Now let's take a short break and listen to a song track called La Lagrima by Maria Marquez. Thank you. You are listening to CJSF 19.1 FM. I'm Richard. Let's move into the private sector. If you don't get that government job, you likely end up in the corporate world, like the tech industry. As a computer science researcher, this is my field. You may have heard the 996 work culture in China. Working 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., 6 days a week. While I was back home, a friend of mine shared his work reality, and it is exhausting just to hear. Officially, his company allows him to leave at 6 p.m., but the culture is so intensely competitive that if he leaves at 6, he is judged as not a team player. So what does he do? He leaves at 6 p.m. to go eat or rest. But he has to physically return to the office at 9 p.m. just to punch out. So the system records him working late. Furthermore, he is on call during all his waking hours. If a message drops in the company WeChat group, or they use the Ding Ding app, at 10 p.m. on a Sunday, he is expected to reply instantly. Compare this to Canada. Provinces like Ontario have literally passed right to disconnect laws, legally protecting employees from answering emails after hours. The work-life balance we cherish here is often viewed as a lack of ambition in Chinese tech ecosystem. Let's listen to a song track called BBL by Brandy Younger. Thank you.
keyboards and sing in Young Pacific.
I'm Nathaniel. I play guitar and sing in Dead Soft.
Since moving to BC, I've been a huge fan of Emily Carr's art.
I wrote a lot of it on the road. That was our first real tour.
What role do you think time plays in transforming something into art?
We've arrived at sexual maturity as a band.
The Arts Show, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. right here on CJSF 90.1 FM.
The Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, SVSPO, offers confidential support, advice, and referrals to SFU and FIC community members, including students, staff, and faculty, who have been impacted by sexual violence and misconduct. The SVSPO is a welcoming place where you can access support without judgment or assumptions. We work from a survivor-centered perspective, using an empowerment and trauma-informed approach that considers individual situations and perspectives. Please reach out. Services are located at the Diamond Alumni Center, room 014 on the lower level. Please reach out by email at sv-support@sfu.ca. That was sv-support@sfu.ca.
Welcome back. Another massive difference is how you get the job and the politics you face once you are in. In Canada, our Human Rights Code strictly regulates interviews. An employer cannot ask about your age, marital status, or family planning. In China, hiring discrimination, especially against the woman, is glaring, open.